Hello, everybody. I'm Del Shores.
And I'm Emerson Collins, and you're watching The Del and Emerson Show.
Straight talk.
Real gay.
Well,
I tried a new inflection.
Yeah, I like the turn. I like the twist with it. It was a...
Yeah.
You could have gotten up and done a little pivot, I think.
But I'm sitting in a chair and I have pillows propped up for my studio at home.
Why is that pillow behind you? You like got some back... Is your sciatica acting up, Emerson?
You want to see the real reason? It's because there's the light in front of me and I'm actually sitting in the chair sideways. Not normal.
Oh, Emerson's all about the lighting.
Come on, y'all. Even at home, you know, my vanity didn't go away just because nobody else can see me.
And I want everybody to know that I have invested in some equipment that is supposed to make it not stutter. So I'm hoping that my computer doesn't stutter this week. And Emerson, I don't know about you, but you are so better with technical shit than I am. But I went on to YouTube. You can go on YouTube and they can give you directions for anything. In a minute. And when it works, I mean, it is like better than any award I've ever won. I swear to God, when it go, oh my God, the green light, everything's working. So anyway, it's all
a little
working.
Thrill.
I hope.
Well, and Dell means that he bought an Ethernet cable, but you could also just pretend like he wiped the Vaseline off the lens.
That's true too. But I had not only an Ethernet cable, I had to get an adapter for my Mac. It was complicated. And then you go to the preferences. It's all about good lighting. Let me see if this is better lighting for me. I am not as... Is that better lighting for me just to give me a little front light?
It is. It does help. That's why I always turn on that light when I walk in your house.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome. Whether you're watching on Facebook, on YouTube, or Periscope, we are thrilled you're here. Type away at the comments. We can see them. And please share the broadcast with your friends and followers. Don't keep us... to yourself like a dirty little secret. Welcome. How's everybody on a Tuesday? How are you, Del Shores?
Tuesday. I know it's like you're in Palm Springs, and someone sent me an email while ago. It's 110 down there. Is that right?
Yes.
So I was complaining because it was hot here, but I have really good news, Emerson. I know, because I know that this you live for this kind of news. My tomato plants bloomed today. I will be able to put tomatoes in a bag and hand them over. Well, we'll spray, you know, some alcohol on the bag, hand them over to my neighbors. I'm very excited.
Make some burrata. Are they fried? The kind you can fry, like fried green tomatoes?
I've got a variety. I have to tell you, I've just become Weezer without the hat. That's exactly what I've have big beefsteak tomatoes, hopefully, and little cherry tomatoes. So, and then I planted some cucumbers and some zucchini, and somebody wrote me on Instagram that I needed to separate them because they could cross-pollinate. And I said, I'm open-minded. I would love to have a cucumber-zucchini hybrid. I would love it.
Oh, now who fucks who? The cucumber fuck the tomato or the vice versa?
I don't know. I'm going to have to go on YouTube and see what the tutorial says about.
You know, somebody somewhere has made like vegetable porn.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, yeah. I haven't gotten to that on Pornhub though. I haven't seen the vegetable porn yet.
Give it a couple more weeks though. And everything's on the table. All right, y'all. We have a great show today. We have two incredible ladies joining us later on in the broadcast. Beth Lapidus, the genius creator behind Uncabaret, and Judy Gold, star of film, screen, stage, comedian extraordinaire. So think of questions you might have for them when they join us a little later on. Del and I have been working away today.
Ladies. We have funny ladies in the house today.
We do.
So what were you, did you ask me a question that I didn't
know? No, I said, we've been working away today on a secret thing.
Oh my God. Yes. This is really, really, y'all don't know this about me, but I have a very difficult time keeping anything secret, anything at all. And we have a project coming up that is so exciting that some of you are going to like cream your pants. I swear to God, it is that exciting. And we cannot announce it for another week because we're putting all the elements together. But oh my God, it is, it's pretty good.
It is very exciting. How's that for a teaser?
Yes. And I was the kid, by the way, when I was a kid, I would open all my Christmas presents before Christmas and then I would wrap them back up. I would get up in the middle of the night. So I have a hard time keeping any, I need to know things, you know, so, and I need to tell things. So
I get it. So we'll tell you next week.
Yes, we will. All right. Dinner. So shall we go on? Shall we get the news?
All right. Time for the news and the nonsense happening in the LGBTQ world. First, just a super exciting victory this week. Two Black queer men won Pulitzer Prizes. Jericho Brown won the Pulitzer Prize for poetry with his third collection of poems entitled The Tradition. He's believed to be the first gay Black man to win that award. He's born in Louisiana. He teaches creative writing at Emory University in Atlanta. And his series of poems explores how we've grown accustomed to terror, from mass shootings to rape to murder of unarmed people by police. And then Michael R. Jackson won the Pulitzer Prize for drama for his 2019 musical, A Strange Loop. So huge, exciting victories in our community.
Yeah.
For these two fantastic, gifted, talented Black gay men.
Yes, yes, yes. And in other news, not so hopeful or exciting, Jim Baker's back in the news, y'all. Jim, you know, Tammy Faye's ex. I love that you wrote infamous, not famous, infamous televangelist and Trump supporter, Jim Baker. You know, there are some Trump supporters that I feel like that he may be just like, okay, y'all, not so loud. You're actually embarrassing me now. It's like Victoria Jackson sort of went away. They asked her, no, stop talking, Victoria.
But I understand the principle, but I don't think he's ever had that thought.
You don't think so? Okay. Well, Jim Baker, as many of you know, went to jail decades ago for scamming his congregation, his TV congregation. Well, here he's in trouble again. He's being sued by the state of Missouri for selling silver solution, a product that supposedly cured COVID-19, SARS, and sexually transmitted infections and prevented HIV. So his lawyers argue that Baker's religious freedoms allows him to sell it because he believes it was divinely inspired. The president of Baker's Morningside Church Productions, which I feel like that is just not something you would want on your resume, Marcella Woodall said, and I'm going to do a little voice for Marcella.
This please is do. Cool.
Our sincerely held religious beliefs require us to encourage our partners to prepare spiritually, mentally, and physically for the second coming of Christ and assist them in doing so by bringing experts to our broadcast to teach how to accomplish his goal. An integral part of this expressive ministry and practice, as well as the doctrine teachings of our religion, includes educating our partners concerning and offering them products, including silver solution, that we believe have been made available to this generation by God. We believe in providing practical tools and supplies to prepare for the end times in connection with the solicitation of funds for the ministry. He's also pushing buckets of dehydrated food and other survivor gear to prepare for the end of the world. Now, here's what I don't understand, Emerson. You grew up in the church like me. So he's selling these buckets of food to believers for the after the rapture, but aren't they supposed to go? Aren't the believers supposed to go and you and me get left behind? So are we going to have to buy these buckets of food?
They think there must be a two-step phase. There's the apocalypse before the, you know, taking everybody to heaven.
Oh, there is that period that we're going to be stuck here. So,
yes.
But y'all, as I've often said, if Jesus is coming soon, they've got to redefine soon. They just
correct.
Must. Yes.
Like if the world is only 5,000 or 6,000 years old, according to the creationists, and Jesus has been gone for 2,000, that's not soon. It's not only true. Soon if we've been around for gajillions of years.
So he's not coming back, y'all. I hate to say Jesus is not coming back. I know that our fan base is disappointed here, but he's not.
They're like, well, I mean, I got things to do while we wait, at the very least. All right, this next story, I honestly can't believe this really happened. Like, I'm going to enjoy reading this. There's a city council meeting in New Jersey. Robin Vaughn is a city councilwoman for Trenton. The openly gay mayor, Reed Gushiora, asked her to name one of the local, quote, do-nothing local organization run by his friends that she had criticized on social media. Well, shortly after, she called that gay mayor a pedophile and said the only thing he brought into City Hall is a bunch of young boys and they're sitting up there in the mayor's suite. Just getting started, you all. When fellow city councilman Joe Harrison tried to intervene, he called her a crazy person and she replied, why don't you go find your father, Joe Harrison? Go ask your whore-ass mom who your father is. Everybody in this city knows who my father is, motherfucker. Harrison's estranged father, and he responded, be careful what you say, ugly. She told him that he could continue to suck Reed Gushiora's dick all you want to, motherfucker. The mayor then went on to call her a child, an idiot, a little asshole, and told her she needed a lobotomy. She then called him a motherfucking drug addict pedophile, adding, you need to get the fuck out of office and get the fuck out of Trenton. We don't have bitch-ass men in my family like you and Reed Gushiora in my family. We got real men in my family, bitch-asses. Nothing but a bunch of women. That's all you are. Bitches. That's right. Running around here with young men. Reed ain't nothing but an old pedophile, bitch-ass motherfucking mayor.
Wow.
This was a city council meeting.
Okay. First of all, Emerson, I'm disappointed in you. Why didn't you write this out so we could perform it? I would have loved to have played her.
Look, I give you all of the preacher sermons. You get to play all the good characters. Shut the fuck up.
Okay. I just.
Every time. I've never taken a Southern character once. So this New Jersey City Council, I got to do.
Well, you did a really good job. I'm a little bit jealous. But that is a crazy, crazy story. But I'm conflicted because I like anyone who uses the word motherfucker publicly.
As Rick has pointed out, she did put out an apology on Facebook saying, I apologize. That must be the first thing you hear from me. I am deeply and specifically sorry for the language that has offended so many. It was also not my intent to attack anyone on the basis of any classification or personal preferences, but I should have been more sensitive to the potential implication of my words and how they might be perceived.
But this is when you just go, but wait, it wasn't like you just, you know, said one word that, you know, like many people have said, you know, that using a one word, this was like a spew. This was a rant. This was, I love her. I just love her.
Like she didn't just accidentally say pansy once. She called him a pedophile repeatedly.
But and bitch ass, but I like them too. I like them. It was a good fight.
That would certainly make me want to take my popcorn and attend my local city council meeting.
Yes. Oh, I will. Yeah, absolutely. I when I was at Baylor and working for the Lariat, I got my assignment was I had to go out to Lorena, Texas, and cover the school board meetings and the Beverly Hills. You know how there was a Beverly Hills right in the middle of Waco, Emerson, like yes. A separate city. And I had to go out to Beverly Hills and cover the city council meeting. And it was amazing. I loved Martha Byrd, who sat there with a big old beehive. She owned a beauty shop, the Byrd House. And she would say, she came up to me the first day and she said, you're the new journalist from the paper, the reporter, right? And I said, yes, ma'am. And she said, okay, these other ones don't have much importance to say, but I do. Basically, she wanted to be quoted in the paper. So she'd go like this. She'd go, Mr. Mayor. And then she'd go to me. Like, start writing.
She said, I'm going to let you know this is a pull quote I'm about to utter.
And I did. I wrote about the dead dog on Collins Street. I did. Just so Martha Byrd was upset about it. Okay, onward. Tulsa hates yard signs is the name of this story. 2 years ago, Terry Gilsland and Christopher Jones moved into a new home they were restoring in Tulsa, Oklahoma. They are one of three couples in the neighborhood. Now their neighbor across the street, John Bailey, has started putting incredibly anti-LGBTQ signs and banners on his property that they see every time they go outside. So Jones says it's like, wow, right in your face. It's very ugly. It's demeaning. And it's a violation of humanity towards my family. But Bigot Bailey, very good. Said, Bigot Bailey, the character of Bigot Bailey will now be played by Dale Shores. I was brought up in a Christian home with Christian morals and values. I believe that homosexuality is wrong. I'm not putting them down. I'm just standing up to them and saying, this is wrong. I'm trying to show them there is a better way. The gay and lesbian community are bullying people into being quiet and to being silent. And they are making people like me that are standing up against them feel like criminals. The couple say that they have no intent to move because of other neighbors who continually check on them and have actively condemned the cold-hearted homeowners. They call us and keep checking to make sure we're okay. We aren't scared. We just thought it's 2020. Way beyond this type of behavior. Wow.
I love that, though, that the other neighbors have rallied behind the gay couples. Like, to me, that speaks strongly as well, that people are getting involved, like Desperate Housewives, getting messy, you know, with the bigot neighbors. And then on the flip side, this other story is a reminder that visibility, wherever you live, whatever your neighborhood you're in, goes both directions. Sal Stowe and Megan Stabler are a lesbian couple who proudly fly two rainbow flags at their house. Sal says, "We live in a very conservative county in a conservative state. To the right of me are Trump supporters. Across the street are conservative Christians." Well, recently, Sal went out to get a package on their front porch, and she found a note under a rock on the front mat. The note said, "Hello, you don't know me, but my name is so-and-so. We're moving away today, but I wanted to thank you. Seeing a pride flag waving so proudly outside your house every day has given me the courage to come out to my family and to be more comfortable with who I am." The note was accompanied by a drawing of a young person waving a trans flag and a pansexual flag. Sal shared it on Facebook saying, "This is why visibility is so important. You never know who needs the support and to know it's okay. I hope this person is okay, their family is being supportive, and they find a community to connect with that can help them through this brave process." So, for every Bigot Bailey, there's a couple saying, look, we're here, we're queer, and we want our neighbors and everyone to know, and that matters to somebody who's watching.
That I have to say, I read, when you sent me the outline, and that story touched me so much, because we've been saying it for years. I mean, we've seen such progress, like Prop 8 would have never passed now here in California, and just the visibility of our gay community, our LGBTQRS, you know, as Judy Gold's new album states, all those letters. So we have some bar news.
Wait, and how important it is, you know, we talk a lot about the people who don't leave where they're from. You know, I left Texas, here I am in LA. But so many of the people who grow up and go out and come out and stay in the places they're from that do some of the hardest work at changing the minds of the people who live in the places we all come from.
I remember I was headlining, I think, Central Alabama Pride one year, and they brought out this probably she was 80-year-old drag queen who had performed in Birmingham like 60 years ago. And I was saying, and you stayed and you started visibility, and it was just so touching to me. And there wasn't the response that I wanted from the audience. I said, y'all, clap for this bitch, clap for this queen. Come on. This is who got you here today. We have to remember that.
Yes.
Yeah. And so, speaking of that, this is a nice segue. The Eagle is closing in DC. It's the oldest gay bar in DC, 50 years old, 50 years in business. But they had to announce via a Zoom meeting that they will be shutting their doors permanently. And during the call, the owners told employees that they decided to dissolve the operation as the sale of the building would force the business to move as of September. So they didn't want to make the move. So anyway, just big, big applause and yay for 50 years, Eagle in DC. And then we have in related news, there's a New York lesbian bar that needs our help. Henrietta Hudson in the West Village in New York City is country's longest operating bar for queer women. And co-owner Lisa Canastrosi said, over the years, we have seen it all. 9/11, 2008 recession, the Superstorm Sandy in 2012. We rose above all the obstacles, but never could have anticipated or be prepared for the onerous burden of the pandemic that threatens our very, very survival. Although we have applied for federal and local, now this is important, y'all, listen to this. They've applied for the federal and local disaster payment protection loans, and they have completely been ignored. And it has been extremely disheartening to see news reports, she says, showing bigger businesses prioritized for assistance, even with LGBT establishments facing recent difficulties. She managed to sign a 15-year lease in 2016, but she could have never anticipated, as none of us could have, what's going on with COVID-19. So they're seeking donations and GoFundMe, and if you'll just Google that and Venmo is at Henrietta-Hudson, and yeah, I'll throw them a little money while so that they can stay alive and well, because that's some history there.
We've talked before, you know, about the challenge that specifically queer spaces are facing right now as we, you know, blend further into acceptance in the wider culture, that spaces specifically for us and by us are struggling. And, you know, to have a 50-year-old gay bar having to close permanently in the oldest lesbian bar in the country, struggling to come back, you know, we want to still have these spaces. We've got to support them financially and we got to show up to them. I love spaces that are just for us, where everyone is welcome, but the priority is our community.
And have been there for so long when our community didn't feel welcome at a lot of bars. It was heartbreaking to me when the Palm closed here in Los Angeles, because it was the last lesbian bar. There's not any, there are none left here in Los Angeles anymore.
Yep. And then another fun, quick story in just exciting celebration community news. Sid Sanders is a young trans man, and he is the valedictorian of his class at the Belfast Area High School in Maine, possibly the first such valedictorian in Maine and the country. He transferred there as a freshman. He began his transition in eighth grade and wanted a fresh start, simply being accepted as male without anyone knowing he was trans. He said, "Over time, people found out. When I came out as trans publicly to everyone and started living as a boy, they had no choice but to support me. Teachers and administrators were full of praise for Sanders. He's finishing high school this year as the valedictorian via Zoom and has been accepted at Harvard." So yay for Sid, just exciting celebration of a member of our community.
And that just makes me, well, I always want to give a shout out to all the grads in college and high schools. And, you know, today I got a text from Sydney Gildner, who's one of my students at NSU Louisiana. And she was graduating today, listening to graduation speeches on Zoom. And it's a little bit sad, you know, that this is their reality. But in that, it doesn't take away for the enormous achievements that you've all done and have accomplished. So kudos to you, and go out in that world and grab your dream.
That's right.
Oh, is it me?
You're next. See, if you read on the paper.
I know. I got off on your story. I hijacked your story a little bit. But, I mean, you know, yes. Okay. Grads. Okay. And in equality ordinance, village officials in Gambier, Ohio, this is good news, passed an LGBTQ inclusive human rights ordinance last week via Zoom, modeled after the proposed legislation that would add gender identity and sexual orientation protections to state law. Ohio does not have statewide protections for LGBTQ people. The town modeled the law after proposed legislation that would add sexual orientation and gender identity to state law. So, yay, Gambier.
I love everything about that. They were like, rights can't wait. We can do this over Zoom. We can make this happen for our community. If our state is waiting, we're going to get it done.
I should have bought some stock in Zoom.
Shouldn't everybody? All right. Okay. This next one is a nonsense story that I found on Reddit that is just delightful and delicious. So a gay man on Reddit shared a story about his fiance's family now boycotting their wedding after he got into an argument with his fiance's homophobic great aunt over the menu. The couple are planning a big Austin wedding, and his fiance Andrew's family is huge. Now, neither one of them eats meat, so they sent out that they would be serving a vegan menu. He then says, when we sent out the actual invites, which mentioned a vegan dinner, you'd think we had announced an immediate consummation of the marriage in the form of a gay orgy with all our friends at the altar. So many people called us so offended we would make our wedding vegan. The great Aunt Gail took it the worst. He explained, Sweet Gail could not fathom eating a vegan dinner and said it was no meal fit for her growing grandkids. She demanded that we change the menu. We kept telling her no. Well, late last year, we were FaceTiming her and she was teasing us to change the menu to accommodate a sweet old gal like her. Well, the fiance Andrew went to the bathroom and Great Aunt Gail quickly told me while he was gone that she would put up with a pansy wedding, but there's no way in hell she'd let her kids eat like pansies. He told her if there was an issue, she didn't have to come. Well, within 24 hours, several of Andrew's family members texted to say they couldn't believe how rude he was to their great aunt, and 20 of his future in-laws have said they're boycotting the wedding unless he apologizes. Now, everybody at home, should he apologize or no? What do you think?
What do I think?
Yes.
Say, fuck Aunt Gail.
Agreed.
I mean, Jesus. If she has such a problem, put a turkey leg in your purse, Aunt Gail, and bring it and eat it behind the woodshed or whatever they... I mean, I'm back in the pioneer days, the woodshed.
I'm fine with it. Look, you bigoted old biddy. Shut the fuck up. I don't care whether you come to my wedding or not.
Pansies. I planted pansies, just on a side note.
I will say, though, that pansy... It's so funny to me. Pansy's not even insulting because I find it hilarious. Like, I'm a pansy. Absolutely. Pansies are adorable. We used to grow pansies in the windowsill in my kitchen growing up.
They like the sun.
They do, and you got to turn them. They got to be in the morning room windowsill where there's lots of sunlight.
I wonder why pansy became like, not why, he's a petunia.
Well, it makes sense. Pansies, the flower, need a lot of attention, and pansies, the homosexuals, also need a lot of attention.
Oh, I see. So that's, therefore, you're a pansy. I get
I'm
it.
I'm definitely.
A proclaimed pansy.
A pansy. Proudly proclaimed pansy.
Well,
Rick LeBlanc said, tell her to bring a bucket of KFC. Like, ma'am, you could put a beef jerky in your pocket.
How are we on time? I have a very... we're good.
Hold on. Let me do my commercial, and then you can tell your story. Now, y'all, obviously, we do this just for everyone's entertainment. We're glad you are here. If you are at home and need a break, we just want to share about the community and laugh and talk about some real things together. But if you are one of those fortunate people that is at home and non-essential, sitting on a pile of money, and you want to send us a dollar or five or 10 or hundreds, you can Venmo me at Emerson Collins or send us by PayPal to beardcollinshoresproductions@gmail.com. It's in the ticker at the bottom. No obligation. We are just thrilled with your attendance. What's your story?
Well, I was going to say we got some very nice tips last week, and I was going to name people, and then I thought, no, they probably don't want that. So, but thank you. All of you who did, thank you. My story was that I have a friend, Peter, who was in Singing in the Rain and on Broadway years ago. And KFC, Rick's comment reminded me that there was a big commotion right after the curtain, after, you know, the show opened, and they were seating Shelley Winters, who walked in with a bucket of KFC chicken, ate it during the first act, left the bones and the pail of chicken in the seat and did not come back after intermission. And I can't believe I've never told you that story. Isn't that a great story?
I would have snatched up that bucket of Shelley Winters fried chicken and sold it on eBay. Who wants Shelley Winters bones?
Yes. So, all right. So we have one more story. No, this is, I have time, right? Are we going to talk about the watch party?
We'll do that at the end.
Okay. As governments are working on relief for the pandemic, children around the world have been drawing rainbows and hanging them in windows to comfort others during the coronavirus pandemic. Now, the Turkish government has ordered the schools to stop participating because it believes it is an international plot to turn children gay. The art museum in Istanbul Modern has been promoting the effort to comfort neighbors and children during the pandemic lockdowns, but has also come under fire for displaying the drawings on their website. Local activists say the government has been amping up attacks on the LGBT community, and the pandemic has only increased the danger. So that's not a good story. No more rainbows.
But this idea that like children painting rainbows like to support like relief efforts, I mean, come on. Like that's so much work to be a bigot at that level. Like you are looking to be upset by people who just want to live.
But I think what this story proves is we do own the rainbow now. We do.
Absolutely.
We own the rainbow. They're not getting it back.
Uh-uh. Never. Sorry, Noah. We got it. You rode that boat for 40 days and we still stole your rainbow. And then y'all, on Tuesday, so we've been really enjoying doing this watch party thing. I hope you all have too. So this weekend, the watch party assignment is A Secret Love, the A League of Their Own lesbian baseball player documentary that's on Netflix. So you want to watch it this weekend on Tuesday, Dell and I will host our discussion about it again. So that's your viewing assignment, should you choose to accept it.
And I hear it's lovely, so I'm sure it's heartwarming and touching. So I'm actually looking forward to this assignment.
Yes, very much. All right. Well, I am extremely excited about the two incredible guests we have. Shall we get to them? They're impatiently waiting in the lovely little online green room.
Are they camera ready? Are they camera ready?
Oh, yes. Clearly, I can see the last minute. The hair and makeups team is zhuzhing away
Are they rushing in right now and giving them last looks?
Uh-huh. Last looks, final touches. Yeah. This is truly exciting. These two incredible pioneers and iconic women are the first. Beth Lapidus is an actress, comedian, host, master teacher, creativity coach, and she is the genius behind Uncabaret, the longest running 27 years live comedy show in Los Angeles. Recently, Vulture said it is also the best live stream comedy show to watch in quarantine. And Judy Gold, I mean, I could spend the next 30 minutes just reading the things she's done. She is an award-winning comedian, actor, writer, and host who has written and starred in literally everything from Shakespeare in the Park to HBO specials to off-Broadway and film and television. Her newest album, Conduct Unbecomen, was released in January. Y'all, I'm tired just writing the list. Please welcome to the show, Beth Lapidus and Judy Gold.
Hey, guys!
Hi!
Hello!
Oh, okay.
I just want to say one thing.
Yeah.
What?
First of all, I'm very upset this is a gay show, apparently. I have no idea. I'm on the phone with the fucking post office.
You can't get out of line. What? You got to stay on.
It's 35 minutes and 41 seconds.
Oh. Look, I get it. If they come back, you jump off and take care of that.
I got this bowl. I got it on Etsy. I had the same one and it broke. And it was my friend Bob Smith's bowl.
Oh.
And I won. So anyway, I was like so upset. So I found another one online and the fucking post, whoever delivered it fucked it up. I called the Etsy person. I've never bought anything on Etsy. And she's like, now I have insurance and there are no more of them. I'm like, fuck you, you fucking bitch. So now I'm on the fucking phone with the goddamn book.
Now Bob knows because, you know, everybody watches our show. Everybody. So he now knows you broke his bow.
Well, Bob's dead. So hopefully.
Oh. I missed that part.
Please welcome to the show, Bob.
Hi, Bob. How a gay doesn't know Bob Smith?
Judy, do his best.
Oh, Bob Smith.
Do the line he's so famous for.
He said his most famous line is, and he's the first gay comic to do the Tonight Show and have an out gay comic and to
this is the greatest line.
And he had a joke and he was doing out comedy in the like in the early mid 80s in the middle of the AIDS crisis, and his famous line is, you know, I told my family I was gay at Thanksgiving. I made the I made the perfectly worded announcement. I forgot how he had the most incredible vocabulary. At Thanksgiving, I said to my mother, can you please pass the gravy to a homosexual? She passed it to my father. And that's how he would come out on stage.
Well, I certainly know who he is, but I just thought when you said Bob Smith, my friend Bob Smith, I thought, oh, yeah, you know, Bob Smith. It's two very common names.
Whatever. You know, Jill, you're never getting off of this. Okay. Oh, my God. Gloria. Gloria said hi. Gloria. She came to my show once.
Oh.
She posted that picture. She posted that picture.
Yeah, she's cool. Yeah. She's a Jew. So what's up, Emerson and Dell?
Well, hunkering down, and I'm in Hollywood Hills. I think I'm pretty close to where Beth is. Beth, where are you hunkering down?
West Hollywood.
Yeah. So
everything, we could just walk over. Yeah.
I'm in the gayest place on earth.
Yeah.
Provincetown,
USA.
I'm in Palm Springs, a close third. On the gayest place.
Right now, I'm telling you, Provincetown was gay before Palm Springs.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
So maybe Provincetown is the longest gay.
Yeah, I don't know what this is right here, going on right here.
And I know, it's like the hair for all
I'll come
of
help you.
I haven't had a haircut. I haven't had a haircut in, what is it, 6 months now? Like, what the fuck is going on?
Everything that you forgot to do the week, I was like scheduled for teeth cleaning, and now I'm like, oh,
I know.
Also, these live streams are terrible for all performers because everyone spends the whole time doing this, right. Just looking at their like. Oh,
and it's back.
It's very nice music.
I know. I mean, it's better music than my fucking agent has the worst goddamn music.
It's
so I'm like you're an agent and you have like, you know, fucking shit. You should have Elaine Stritch on there, you fucking idiots. All right, correct. Anyway.
Just play Liberty as the as the hold music. Yeah. Just play the show.
So Jimmy, are you always this angry, or is this just because of the pandemic? Are you always this angry?
Look, I'm my mother's daughter. Inside, I am a very soft, loving, sensitive, caring, but everything fucking annoys me. I can't take it. It's like people, I can't take it because people are so fucking annoying. And I hate injustice and unfairness. I hate it. My podcast is called Kill Me Now. And it's, you know, it's basically, we talk about things that piss people off the most. I mean, I do an in-depth, you know, interview. And then I, you know, we discuss what pisses them off? Because something fucking pisses people. You know, that is something no one ever talks about. They go on these shows, they're plugging this, they're plugging that. But what the fuck makes you crazy mad? That's what I'm fascinated with.
Okay.
It's a lot about a person. I mean, everything makes me crazy mad.
I have got a big list. Beth Lapidus, what makes you fucking
no, mad? Don't give it up. Give it up on my podcast.
Yeah, save it for the podcast.
I'm saving it for Judy.
Yeah.
I don't
even know. She doesn't get mad.
Hey,
I'm not great with anger, but there are things, but I don't.
Why am I so good with anger?
I don't know. It's the service you do for us. You channel the anger.
I do. Because I didn't get any, you know, in my family, there was no hugging or I love you or any of that.
I love you, Judy. I love you.
So this pandemic's okay. No hugs. I mean, I miss hugs.
I have my girlfriend's here, my son's here, and his girlfriend's here, and so we're hugging.
Oh, so you have a good quarantine commune group.
Yes, and actually, we're having Shabbat dinner tonight at my ex's down the street.
Sharon?
Sharon, yes! Beth knows me for fucking ever. Yeah, Sharon yeah. And her wife, who is closer in age to the kids, but she's very nice.
I appreciate you getting that in there. Now, are y'all getting on each other's nerves in the house? You're in the house.
Well, I have realized in this quarantine that basically I get on everyone else's nerves and they don't get on each other's nerves. So it's always, mommy, why are you like that? And then Elisa, my girlfriend, would be like, you know what, Judy? He's right. And I'm like, what the fuck? No one is on my side. Ben's girlfriend, Nicole, is on my side a lot. She's like, you know what? But it's really hard because I as much as I annoy them, I annoy myself even more. Like, I get on my own nerves.
Same.
Right?
Yes.
You're annoyed by me.
I annoy me.
Imagine being me and being like, oh, you're so fucking annoying. And you can't get away from me because, yeah. Fuck the post office. Fuck you.
I want to, Beth.
Yes.
I am so proud of you that you were like one of the first to go, okay, we're not shutting down. We're doing
Oh, yeah. Limits. Oh, yeah. You know, when I get mad, I just take action. And I just got so mad. And I just was like, well, let's just try it. I didn't really even have a second thought. I just thought, we'll try it. I don't know what will be, but I'm experimental by nature. And, you know, let's just try.
But you know what's good, Beth, you know, is that a lot of this comedy stuff doesn't translate on right. Zoom, because the art form is storytelling.
Yes.
And that you're interactive with the performers. It's just works. It just works.
I appreciate that. And you know, two of the big words, as you know, watchwords for Uncab have been intimacy and conversation. So, you know, to make Uncab very conversational was always one of the things. I think back to Judy Toll, and you know, we would have phone calls and it'd be hilarious. And then I just was like, can't we figure out a way to do comedy that's just like as much fun as it is to be on the phone? And that was always what I was going for. So you know, with the back mic and the thing. So I think I'm interested. It's hard as the, you know, host to have started out, and like, I do miss the rooms and I miss, but you know, we can't go there. We just have to be where we are. And there is a great spiritual, you know, path that we're walking. And I know that sounds all, you know, just so geeky, but you know, unless we're really going to change, it's just going to get worse. I mean, we are the ones, we have consciousness. I mean, you guys have consciousness. We have to actually change in order to get to the next place. I know that's not like that funny, but I do believe
you don't always have to be funny.
Oh my God, that is fucking hilarious.
I know. I'm good with you. I'm good with a little spirituality.
You know what, Beth? Can I just say something?
Please.
So, Judy Toll was one of my best friends, and Beth too, you know. And so Judy Toll used to always do Uncab Cabaret, and I used to be like, can you just tell Beth? And Beth used to be like, she does too many jokes. And I was like, no, I tell stories. And I used to, Beth, you don't know how many fucking times.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry.
I would be on the phone. I'm like, I don't understand. I love Beth. I swear. And it's like, it's so funny because I wasn't storytelling enough for you, and I wasn't joke enough for the clubs. I would do what I do in the clubs anyway, but
yeah.
And I was like, I can't fucking win.
I'm sorry. You are hilarious. I've always thought you were hilarious. At the beginning, it was really hard to try to figure out a way to say what it was and get people to do it. You know, I'm more easy now, and I.
You know what's amazing is what came of that. Of that seed, you know, the moth, you know what I mean? It's such a genre now, and yours is so great because it's raw and the rules, like they're there, but they're not, you know what I mean? Like have you ever done the moth? Have you guys ever done the moth?
I have done we did a storytelling. We did a partnership with them where we did a say the word. The say the words were right. TV writers. Yeah. So I never did the moth per se, but I've seen it. Yeah.
They have so many rules. Like I did the moth.
So many rules. Oh my God.
My God. And I'm like, oh my God. And I felt like I was in school. And then you have to do it for them in a room. It's like three of them. I'm like, oh my God.
I know. So many rules, and it's and also not necessarily built to be funny.
Right.
So what's the intersection of, I so identify with what you're saying. It's not storytelling enough. It's comedy enough. And thing. I mean, you are like the queen of rants, and rants is like one of the formats. I mean, it's so interesting to try to understand how we get stories across. I mean, you can tell a story in so many different ways that aren't like, and then at the beginning,
right.
And then, you know, you're story based. I always try to say it's story based comedy. Oh, sorry, Emerson, let me just talk right over you though.
No, please, are you kidding? Like, well, but I think it speaks to why Uncabaret has lasted so long, in addition to the effort you have put in across venues across finding people, like all of the people you've had over the years, and why the innovation you had to do to keep it going also made you such a trendsetter in jumping to Zoom. But your rules of like, tell a story, tell us something,
and don't repeat. Yeah, try to do something new, but what does that mean? You can never do something you did before, and that's not what it means. You can use the context, but it's about the now. That's the best way I can say it. Like Del, yeah. I remember his last set, your last set that you came in, and when we were down at Rockwell, and you did a set about, you know, signing up voters. I mean, that was so of the moment, Del. You know,
Mississippi.
The room was hungry to hear that story. I mean, you know, Judy, I know you've experienced this, I'm sure, so much. Somebody gets on stage and says, like, you know, just yesterday I was like, and then they tell
me, and you're like, you're so
you know.
You know, I do sets a lot. I'm like one of the old timers who still goes out. Well, I don't go out anymore, but 4 or 5 nights a week. And a lot of my stand-up is what happened. Like, I just got off the subway, blah, 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 blah. And it's so interesting because a lot of audiences are not receptive to that. And it also depends on who goes on before you. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
People don't realize, you know, MCs are treated like such shit in comedy club. Like, we'll get the least experienced person to be the MC.
When people call me an MC, like sometimes somebody will be saying what I do and they'll say, and she MCs the show. And I'm like, no, I don't. I don't MC. I'm not an MC. I like, you're that makes me mad. If you want to, I have such a panicky reaction.
But when I started in the early 80s, like when I used to go to Catch Rising Star, the MC was the star of the show. It was like Belzer. It was Belzer's night. It was Adrian Tosh's night. And that was what you went. It was like, this is my show and I'm going to bring all the comics up. And that art form has been lost. And that's what's so great about Uncabaret. It's like, come into my living room, come into my space. Here's Mitch, here I am. And it's just, it's comfortable and it's safe. But
I remember I once got this review early on when I came to LA. I did a one woman show and it was in the LA Times and they said, oh, sure, though she was so funny in the audience. But, you know, the audience was on her side. And so discounting the comedy because somehow the audience was inclined to like me in the first place. So it wasn't this fight, you know.
Wait, did a man write it?
Of course. Of course. Yeah. And
sorry, guys. And, you know,
and then, you know, and I think this thing also of the curating of a group where I know, you know, we put together a night and it's like some people are friends with each other and happy to see each other, but then there's somebody that no one knows. And, you know, it really is like making a salad or something to put, you know, I spent a lot of energy trying to figure out the energy. It's a great, I mean, when Judy comes on with her crazy anger, I mean, that's a flavor that is perfect, but then I wouldn't put somebody else really, you know, it's right, like, right. You don't get somebody in a comedy club. You're not thinking about making a show. It's just this sort of by the yard experience.
There are a handful of clubs, and I mean a handful, 5 or less, that curate their shows. The Comedy Attic in Bloomington, Indiana.
Oh yeah, I've heard really good things about that space.
Zany's in Chicago. There are clubs that say, who's the headliner? What's the best? Yeah. You know, and otherwise, it's all money. Money, 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 money.
Well, it's like difference between DJs that play an iTunes playlist and DJs that plan an evening. A great host plans the energy. Yeah. And even between, you know, big energy and small can transition you if the order changes. Because they know what the feel is of the next person.
You got to be in the moment.
Is a skill.
It's, again, the now. It's like feeling that now and being able to feel like, oh, there's an explosive comedian, then a magnetic comedian, and then, you know, somebody who... Yeah, all that. Some a fresh face. I mean, people need to meet new people and see familiar people. I mean, it's that whole thing. And you know, ultimately, it comes down to who has anything to fucking say. I mean, you know, I've seen young comedians, and they have skills, but I'm like, what are? I mean,
you need life experience too.
Yeah. And there are young people who have stuff to say, but, and there are older people who have nothing to say. It's not, I don't want to be ageist either. I mean, that's another thing.
Right.
It's like a mix of age, is also, you know, a mix of gender, a mix of sexuality, a mix of age. I mean, I like to create a non-homogeneous experience. It's so important to me.
Yeah. Well, Beth, I have to, I think I've told you this in person. And but when I,
I'm fine. I'm fine.
I was such a fan of On Cabaret. I mean, I would seek it out. I would go.
And it was the coolest.
And it was hard to get into.
It was really difficult
to get into. We could not get a ticket, and you'd have to plan ahead. And it was when Kathy Griffin was, you know, the first time I saw Kathy Griffin on stage was at On Cabaret.
And she was still wearing corduroy.
And Patrick King. And I mean, it was just this collection of
are you all right?
really different energy than the Comedy Store when I would go up there and watch. And so I've been, when you asked me to do it, you know, 20 years later, I was like, oh my God, I can't believe
it. I want to be in the rotation, Beth.
You are. You're in. Right. You're in. Right. You're in.
Well, I have a lot to say.
You know that, what, you know how, do you, I don't think you remember this. I was telling Emerson before the show, I said, you know, the first time I was even aware of Judy Gold was in 1996. I was producing Mr. and Mrs. Smith with Maria Bello and Scott Bakula, and I fought so hard for you to get the role of Roz. It was an arc of like several, this computer geek. Aida Turturro ultimately did the role. But you were-
I remember that!
You were so brilliant. And I was like, no, I want that one. And but I didn't have the most power.
But you know what, Del? That's the story of my career.
I did not know you as a comic first. I saw you as an actress before I saw you as a comic.
Oh, I love that.
Oh.
Yeah, and I thought, this is a really funny, I mean, we wanted a comedy, and the comedy chops were so intense.
But the writing was really good, too. So, you know,
And then they said, no, let's use her later. And well, if then we got canceled after.
Oh, it's always. Oh, no, she's on her radar. Fuck you with the fucking radar.
But, you know, the thing about Judy, too, Judy, you know, I have to say, I remember being at Comedy U, and Judy was so focused. You know, Judy would walk into Comedy U. She had headphones on. She was focused. She was working on her work. This was, I mean, there was no, I mean, you were hilarious even, you know, the first time I saw you, you've always been hilarious. And you know, but the focus of your energetic focus on what you were doing, you were not throwing shit away. You were there. You meant business from the beginning. And you've always meant business a lot
because I always just wanted to be a great comic and great at my craft. And, you know, so many people use stand-up as a vehicle for something else, but I love the art form. And I also always took acting classes because I was like, I want to keep those muscles up too. But thank you for that. And I think that's why all the guy comics respect me. Because A, I'm a lesbian. I never wanted to fuck them. I never did anything to get a spot. I never did anything but work hard to get stage time. That was it. Just doing my best. So yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. And you can handle a crowd. I have to say, one of the things that made me hate the clubs is heck. I mean, if somebody heckled me, I would just be like, oh well, you know, I'd be like, oh well, you know, I just couldn't even take it seriously. I couldn't have the energy to fight them, and I didn't really care, and I just was befuddled, and it seemed everybody else was upset, and I had nothing. I remember at the Comedy Store, people were heckling me once. I had big white hair at one point, and this one guy was going,
I remember that hair.
And this guy was going like Einstein, like it was like that was a heckle. And
but I know, but it's also like
that would be so fucking great. I mean, to use Einstein, people like going Marilyn Monroe, you know,
it's just so ridiculous that, you know, you get on stage to do your set and someone has to yell shit at you. It's like, how fucking tiny is your penis that you need to interrupt my fucking show because you don't have the balls to get on fucking stage and you're trying to impress your fucking slut girlfriend, you asshole. I can't take it. It's so annoying. It's so like, oh my God. And I always, now I'm so annoyed with them. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to come to your fucking work. I'm going to be like, blah, 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 you fucking, I always, I try to get as much information about them before I rip them apart. I'm like, oh, what do you do?
Judy, you know. Can I tell you a quick story?
Yeah.
I accidentally heckled someone once. So not on purpose. There was a guy up on stage doing that thing where he set up his premise that was clearly about to be like, ha ha ha, homophobia. He was talking about, you know, I was eating at my girlfriend and my nose ended up in her butt. And she was like, yeah, go ahead. And I was like, oh, are we eating butts now? And I went, yes.
That's a good like, one. Yeah, but that's a
little
good
louder than I intended because I was like annoyed at like where we were headed. And I was like, I turned to my boyfriend. I was like, I just heckled. And he was like, yeah.
No, but
then
that's not
the room
a heckle.
Laughed
yeah.
at me
right.
louder than any of his jokes. And I was like, oh, you're just not good at what you do.
Right. That and you're coming from heckle. And you're coming from a real place. And he's yeah. coming from a bullshit place. You could smell, yeah. you can smell inauthenticity in a comic immediately.
Instantly.
Like, you know what yeah. I mean? It's like, yeah. okay, you could tell when it's an act. I can't sit through an act.
Yeah.
I know. It's just like okay. one of the things.
Real quick, before we run out of time, I won't make sure. Oh. Beth, tell us where we get tickets. We're all about on Cabaret on the 10th, right? This Sunday night.
Yes, this Sunday night. You can get tickets at uncabaret.com. UNCABARET. There's links on all the social media spots. It's UNCABARET everywhere. There's an Eventbrite ticket. Sign up for that, and then you'll get reminder on Sunday, or just go and on the website and get the Zoom link.
There were a lot of people on when I did it. That was the biggest audience I've ever had.
Every time there's a lot of people, and you have some amazing guests. This Sandra.
Yeah, Sandra Bernhardt is on this Sunday, and
Cheers. I'm so excited about
Cheers. We're super excited.
Okay, yeah. whatever. When's and Judy Gold coming on?
Judy Gold is going to be back in maybe 2 weeks.
Yes. Yes, I am there, bitches.
Tell us what we need to look for with you, Judy. You've got.
Oh my God, Del, I love you. I just wrote a book. I wrote a book all last year about freedom of speech from the perspective of a comedian. It's called Yes, I Can Say That. When they come for the comedians, we're all in trouble. I've gotten two amazingly great reviews. It's out. It's out July 28th, but you can go to my website, judygold.com or Amazon and pre-order. It's like, it was a labor of love it's really a polemic on comedy and free speech and the fact that comedians get on stage to make people laugh and they shouldn't be, you know, vilified and canceled for that. When politicians get on a stage and say things that make people die and make laws that affect people's, you know, lives and your human rights and that motherfucker gets away with whatever the fuck he wants to say and you're canceling a comedian from a joke they did, you know, a year ago that you didn't think was funny. Go fuck yourself. Anyway, and I also have a podcast called Kill Me Now. Go ahead.
And if you're not following Judy on Twitter and Beth as well, but with Judy, you just hope someone comes for her. You just hope.
Thank you.
And Unbecoming Conduct is also available from January, yes?
Yeah, Conduct Unbecoming.
Yep.
But my podcast and my book and whatever,
new one.
You know.
So real quick, Quentin just wrote, $10 that my sunflowers are fake. They are not.
Oh, no, he said $1,000.
$1,000. You Venmo it to us right now.
Quentin.
They are from Trader Joe's. There you go. All right.
Hey, Judy. Is the book going to be on Audible?
I'll give Beth $250 and Judy $250 of that.
Yes, thank you. We'll give it to charity.
Thank you.
It's on Audible, and it is, I'm recording it the first week of June.
Amazing.
And it'll be great. And also I know that all of you and Beth and, you know, we've all been doing a lot of charity work for all the first responders and all the people who are really putting their lives on the line so that we are safe. But I'm done. Okay. I need fucking money now. Okay.
Yeah, <I know>.
So, you know, it's like, will you do this for that? And it's like, okay, but here's my charity. Chase checking account number 4.
Yeah. Request we were going to do for that benefit.
Yeah.
Not Judy. Maybe Beth. Okay.
Ladies, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having
us. Thank you. This was so fun. I love you, Beth.
I love you, Judy. I love you, Del. I love you, everyone. Thanks for having us.
Thank y'all. Thanks for coming. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh God, they're so damn delightful.
What energy. Oh, there's a lot of energy. I love it.
It's my favorite. You know, those Judy talked about, you know, she's rants like long before other people like made rant, you know, we're doing a rant show. Like she's ranted forever. And what I love is that her rants start somewhere and they end at a place where you're surprised at the point she was making, you know, through it. It's not right. Just look at me yelling at you. It's like there's a conversation that you're realizing that she's leading you to. So that it's literally a righteous anger about something. And I just love that. Well,
too, we're very, very, very fortunate. We had two brilliant, brilliant comedians in the house.
I didn't tell Beth. Yeah, you know, it's like I have been down there and eaten so much vegan food because I love Beth's Uncabaret show so much. Well, the restaurant changed from that other one to the vegan place.
What? Oh yes. We used to perform at, it was Ocklock downtown that was vegan, yes. and that was, it was so interesting because the owner had taken a vow of silence. He was a Buddhist and he had taken this vow of silence for like years, and so yes. he would come up after your set or after the show and he'd go.
Yes, absolutely.
That's a lot of energy.
All right, y'all. Well, I hope you enjoyed the show. We had a great time. We'll say one more time, if you're somebody who's financially well set and you want to contribute to our ability to keep making work and doing this show twice a week, send us $1, $5.
Or $1,000. Or $1,000 because the sunflowers are real.
The information is in the banner below. You can send it via Venmo to me at Emerson Collins, or you can do it through your bank account through PayPal. To beardcollinshoresproductions@gmail.com, and I will split that with Dell.
All of you, there's so many people that watch us that support other artists, and we are always just grateful as artists that while this time when we're downtime, when we have no stage to stand on and no mic to hold, that you guys are here for us. We're really, really fortunate that you come along and keep supporting our friends Debbie Holiday, Levi Kreis, Matt Yee, Beth Lapidus, and Uncabaret, and Judy Gold, and all of these wonderful people who have a voice out there in the internet.
Yes, and so don't forget your watch party assignment: Netflix, A Secret Love, for our discussion on Tuesday, and we'll be back.
All right, see y'all later. Goodbye.
All right, bye.